Well, you don't expect me to let you cut me up for nothing, do you?
Will you paint my portrait for nothing?
No, but I'll give you the portrait when it's painted. And you can sell it afterwards for perhaps double the money. But I can't sell my nuciform sack when you've cut it out.
Bridget, did you ever hear anything like this? Well, you can keep your nuciform sack and your tubercular lung and your diseased brain. I have done with you. One would think I was not conferring a favor on this fellow.
That leaves only one medical man who has not withdrawn from your case, Mr. Dubedon. You have nobody left to appeal to now but Sir Ralph Bloomfield Bonington.
If I were you, Bonington, I shouldn't touch him with a pair of tongs. Let him take his lungs to Brompton Hospital. They won't cure him, but they'll teach him manners.
My weakness is that I've never been able to say no, even to the most thoroughly undeserving people. Besides, I am bound to say that I don't think it is possible in medical practice to go into the question of the value of lives we save. Just consider, Ridgeon. Let me put it to you, Patty. Clear your mind of cant, Walpole.
My mind is clear of cant.
Quite so. Well, now, look at my practice. It is what I suppose you would call a fashionable practice, a smart practice, a practice among the best people. You ask me to go into the question of whether my patients are of any use either to themselves or to anyone else. Well, if you apply any scientific test known to me, you will achieve a reductio ad absurdum. You will be driven to the conclusion that the majority of them would be, as my friend, Mr. J.M. Barry, has tersely phrased it, better dead. Better dead. There are exceptions, no doubt. For instance, there is the court, an essentially social-democratic institution, supported out of public funds by the public because the public wants it and likes it. My court patients are hard-working people who give satisfaction, undoubtedly. Then I have a duke or two whose estates are probably better managed than they would be in public hands. But as to most of the rest, if I once began to argue about them, unquestionably the verdict would be better dead. When they actually do die, I sometimes have to offer that consolation, thinly disguised to the family. The fact that they spend money so extravagantly on medical attendance really would not justify me in wasting my talents, such as they are, in keeping them alive. After all, if my fees are high, I have to spend heavily. My own tastes are simple. A camp bed, a couple of rooms, a crust, a bottle of wine, and I am happy and contented. My wife's tastes are perhaps more luxurious, but even she deplores an expenditure the sole object of which is to maintain the state my patients require from their medical attendant. I have lost the thread of these remarks. What was I talking about, Ridgeon?
About Dubedon.
Ah, yes, precisely. Thank you. Dubedon, of course. Well, what is our friend Dubedon? A vicious and ignorant young man with a talent for drawing.
Thank you. Don't mind me.
But then, what are many of my patients? Vicious and ignorant young men without a talent for anything. If I were to stop to argue about their merits, I should have to give up 3/4 of my practice. Therefore, I have made it a rule not so to argue. Now, as an honorable man, having made that rule as to paying patients, can I make an exception as to a patient who, far from being a paying patient, may more fitly be described as a borrowing patient? No. I say no. Mr. Dubedat, your moral character is nothing to me. I look at you from a purely scientific point of view. To me, you are simply a field of battle in which an invading army of tubercle bacilli struggles with a patriotic force of phagocytes. Having made a promise to your wife, which my principles will not allow me to break, to stimulate those phagocytes, I will stimulate them. And I will take no further responsibility.
Well, Mr. Dubedon, as Sir Ralph has very kindly offered to take charge of your case, and as the 2 minutes I promised you are up, I must ask you to excuse me.
Sir Patrick rises.
Oh, certainly. I've quite done with you.
Louis rises and holds up his sketchbook.
There. While you've been talking, I've been doing. What is there left of your moralizing? Only a little carbonic acid gas which makes the room unhealthy. What is there left of my work? That. Look at it.
You young rascal. Was it drawing me you were?
Of course. What else?
That's rather good. Don't you think so?
Yes. So good that I should like to have it.
Thank you, but I should like to have it myself. What do you think, Walpole?
No, by Jove, I must have this.
I wish I could afford to give it to you, Sir Patrick, but I'd pay 5 guineas sooner than part with it.
Oh, for that matter, I will give you 6 for it.
10.
I think Sir Patrick is morally entitled to it, as he sat for it. May I send it to your house, Sir Patrick, for 12 guineas?
12 guineas? Not if you were president of the Royal Academy, young man.
Would you like to take it for 12, Sir Ralph?
For 12 guineas? Well, thank you, I'll take it of that.
Bonington takes it and presents it to Sir Patrick.
Accept it from me, Paddy, and may you long be spared to contemplate it.
Thank you.
I needn't settle with you now, Mr. Dubedat. My fees will come to more than that.
Well, of all the mean... I'd let myself be shot sooner than do a thing like that. I consider you've stolen my drawing.
So we've converted you to a belief in morality after all, eh?
I'll do another one for you, Walpole, if you'll let me have the 10 you promised.
Very good. I'll pay on delivery.
Oh, what do you take me for? Have you no confidence in my honor?
None whatsoever.
Oh, well, of course, if you feel that way, you can't help it. Before you go, Sir Patrick, let me fetch Jennifer. I know she'd like to see you, if you don't mind. And now, before she comes in, one word. You've all been talking here pretty freely about me, in my own house, too. I don't mind that. I'm a man and can take care of myself. But when Jennifer comes in, please remember that she's a lady and that you are supposed to be gentlemen.
Louis goes out.
Well!
Walpole gives the situation up as indescribable and goes for his hat.
Damn his impudence.
I shouldn't be at all surprised to learn he's well connected. Whenever I meet dignity and self-possession without any discoverable basis, I diagnose good family.
Diagnose artistic genius, Bonington. That's what saves his self-respect.
The world is made like that. The decent fellows are always being lectured and put out of countenance by the snobs.
I am not out of countenance. I should like, by Jupiter, to see the man who could put me out of countenance.
Jennifer comes in.
Mrs. Dubedat, how are we today?
Thank you all so much for coming. Thank you, Sir Patrick. Oh, life has been worth living since I have known you. Since Richmond, I have not known a moment's fear, and it used to be nothing but fear. Won't you sit down and tell me the result of the consultation?
I'll go, if you don't mind, Mrs. Dubedat. I have an appointment. Before I go, let me say I am quite agreed with my colleagues here as to the character of the case. As to the cause and the remedy, that's not my business. I'm only a surgeon, and these gentlemen are physicians and will advise you. I may have my own views. In fact, I have them, and they are perfectly well known to my colleagues. If I am needed, and needed I shall be finally, they know where to find me, and I am always at your service. So, for today, goodbye.
Walpole goes out, leaving Jennifer much puzzled by his unexpected withdrawal and formal manner.
I also will ask you to excuse me, Mrs. Dubedat.
Are you going?
Yes, I can be of no use here, and I must be getting back. As you know, ma'am, I'm not in practice now, and I shall not be in charge of the case. It rests between Sir Colenso Ridgeon and Sir Ralph Bloomfield Bonington. They know my opinion. Good afternoon to you, ma'am.
Sir Patrick bows and makes for the door.
There's nothing wrong, is there? You don't think Louis is worse, do you?
No, he's not worse. Just the same as at Richmond.
Oh, thank you. You frightened me. Excuse me.
Don't mention it, ma'am.
Sir Patrick goes out.